He said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, Tell my lord the king, all that thou didst send for to thy servant at the first I will do, but this thing I may not do. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. And Ben-Hadad said unto him and said, The gods do so unto me and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. And the king of Israel answered and said, Tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. I'd like to, I don't know, I've never done this, but Brother Matt, you're such a blessing to me. Well, you ask the Lord to get in this thing and do something with it.
Heavenly Father, thanks for bringing us all together. And, Lord, thanks for a great week. You showed us a lot about ourselves and about the people that we go to church with. What a blessing to have this family. Please, Lord, put it in Brother Evan's heart to send us a great message this morning.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible, go to one more place today, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, another passage you're very familiar with. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Might I say, while you're going to the book of 1 Timothy, it's a real honor to be preaching in this church. It is. I'm so nerved up, it is ridiculous. Amen? And I appreciate you people, and the Lord brought your preacher my way when I needed someone to be a friend to me. And I'm on the backside of nowhere. You can't get there from here, amen. And we're up in Tawa City, but the Lord has really used your preacher to be a blessing to me. And preachers need friends, amen. Preachers don't have it all together. Preachers are a mess. And they just kind of talk tough on Sundays, amen. But I appreciate your preacher, and I'm not just saying that, but I love him. And I can say this, and my other friends won't get upset, but your preacher is my best friend. And I don't have to worry about you messing with him, but you know how he is. He just turns you into a pretzel. I did jujitsu with him one time, and I walk like Jacob with a limp for the next 6 months, you know what I mean? So don't matter how big and tough you are. If you don't know what you're doing, you're just going to be a mess. But 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says, Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. I want you to let that marinate just for a minute. I like to cook, so I'll use some cooking words, and we'll smell the food, and we'll try not to preach too long this morning. But I want to show you a couple things here from the Bible. Back in 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 11, now Ahab, he only ever says one good thing in the King James Bible, and it's recorded for you. It's recorded for you in verse 11. That's the only thing he said that ever made any sense at all. And the Lord records it for us, and I reckon the Lord has some learning for us today. And in this passage in 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 11, comes a great exhortation to you and me, a great admonishment to the body of Christ at Bible Believers Church of South Lyon. There's a great thing that you and I have to remember and have to learn. And as you look at verse 11 here, the thing comes through loud and clear. I know it's to Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, but if you look at that verse there, you see old King Ahab usually run by his wife, amen. He's usually just doing whatever in the world she tells him to do, amen. But all of a sudden, it like he gets like the cowardly lion, he gets just a little bit of courage, and he goes, hold on now. As John Paul Jones said, we ain't even begun to fight yet. So you say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the admonition for you and I today, as you celebrate what God has done, you celebrate God's goodness and His grace to every one of you, the admonition is stay in the harness. If you look at the verse, he says, don't you be boasting about taking that thing off. You ain't even put it on yet. So I want to preach today about staying in the harness. The exhortation for the child of God is we must stay in the harness. Now we know what Paul says. Amen. Fight the good fight. And just like you, I've been guilty time after time again of kind of looking for a fight. Amen. Some of you young men I know, you're just kind of looking for a fight. Now, you're not supposed to fight all the time. And see, I learned back in August of 1996 that my Bible is sharper than a two-edged sword. Amen? And just like some of y'all, you like to keep it out of the sheath sometimes, and you're always going for the head, but you can't. And I've been guilty just like you, been looking for a fight. Why? There's something in the grit of my crawl somewhere. You know, I remember learning after I found out my Bible is a two-edged sword, I got to reading through Jeremiah. And I learned that the man of God or the child of God that does the work of God deceitfully, the Lord gets all over him. And I learned that in Isaiah, was it Jeremiah 48:10, he said, "Cursed be he that doeth the work of God deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood." That showed me as a child of God that every once in a while when you pull that sword out, you're going to draw some blood. Yeah. And nobody's going to like it.
Yeah.
But today, I see the admonition to stay in the harness. And in the text today, but if you remember, if we can set this thing up the way it should go, if you remember back in chapter 18, you see back in chapter 18, what happened is the Lord begins to prepare the field. And he does that showdown at the OK Corral up on Mount Carmel. You know, your preacher just preached the fire out of that thing. No pun intended there, amen. And all the prophets get up there. And what happens is the Lord has to clear, he has to clean the house. You ever notice that in a local church? Every once in a while, the Lord's just got to clean the house. I preached a message one time, let the Lord clean the house. And he did, and I got upset about it. I'm like, "You're kidding me, Lord." And he's like, "You preach it, dummy." I'm like, "Oh, you're right." Gee, thanks. But every once in a while, the Lord has to clean the house. And if you remember up on Mount Carmel, you've got all the circus going on there, and you got 450 prophets of Baal. And you know what happens? He takes it and turns it into a nonprofit organization. Amen. Like the old preacher says. But what happens is the sin had to get taken out. Every once in a while, God has to take your house and clean it out and get rid of the sin. And then the thing that means the most to you, which at that time in Carmel was water, had to be put on the sacrifice like your preacher just preached. So what happened is the Lord prepares everything for a victory. And after that mountaintop experience, if you remember, when all the sin had to be put to death, amen, all the sin had to be put to death, then the rain could fall again. And I don't know about you, but I sure desire the presence of God. I sure desire the rain. And by this time of year, I'd like to see a little bit more snow, and I know you'd probably throw me off the platform from that, but I'm tired of rain now. But you know what I'm saying? That rain was what they needed most. But the rain could fall again. And even though the preacher Elijah, he had to go through what they call juniper junction. And even though nobody thanked him for it, amen, even though nobody sided with the preacher, and even though he felt like a failure, and even though he felt like his delivery was terrible, despite all this, all of Israel, can I remind you that all of Israel benefited from the obedience of that preacher? All of Israel benefited. Christian, can I just remind you this morning, before we get into this thing, you better mark it down. You might feel like a failure today. You might feel like you don't have the right estimation of the Bible. You may struggle day in and day out. But can I tell you this? But if you do what God says, if you do what God says, regardless of what you look like, regardless of what you think about yourself, regardless of what your walk with God looks like today, you know what I'm saying? If you do what God says, you can mark it down. He's pleased with you. Bible says in John 14:23, "If you love me, keep my words." And that old preacher up on the top of Mount Carmel kept the words of God, and God met with the nation of Israel, and that preacher thought he was a flop. But you realize, here we are, two chapters later, the preacher's having a fit of a time, ain't he? Matter of fact, he's not even here to give Ahab the news. It's some other prophet. If you read the Bible, it's not Elijah. He's kind of a little sabbatical for the preacher. Amen? Every once in a while, your preacher needs a break. Amen. I know he won't take one, but you need one every once in a while. Amen? But if you did what God said, he's happy with you. And you don't always see the benefit in your Christian life of what you're doing. But obedience is the best form of worship you could ever imagine. So as we approach that, I'll give you the background, which you already know. Approach verse 11, 1 Kings 20. I know this was given to the Ben-Hadad of Syria there. And I know that many of us today are in the fight. I know that many of you are in the fight today. But if you'll consider with me just for a moment, if this church, if the body of Christ here at Bible Believers Church of South Line is ever going to enjoy one more year, if you're ever going to enjoy the graces of God next year like this, can I say that y'all going to have to stay in the harness? You cannot get out of the harness. You're going to have to stay in the harness this morning. You and I are going to have to stay in the harness and let the Lord do with us exactly what He wants to do with us. You see, the temptation is after serving God for a while, you have this idea that maybe someone else needs to step up and get in the harness. After all, you've been doing it. You've been after it. You've been faithful. Amen. Thank God for you. But the temptation is to look around to see who's not in the harness and expect them to be where you're at today. Can I tell you, you're never going to escape the process by which God's developing you. You're never going to escape that process. Let me remind you this morning, you can only control one person. I've only been married for 23 years, and you can only control one person, and it ain't your wife. If she can't control you, who do you think you are? You can only control one person, that's you. And you'll only give account for one person at the judgment seat of Christ, that's you. That's why I preach to you today, to stay in the harness. You say, well, really is the harness. We'll get to that in just a minute. But I'd like to show you a few reasons why I believe you and I need to stay in the harness. First of all, if you look at verse 4 and 5 of the text this morning, 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 4 and 5. Bible says, "And the king of Israel answered and said, My Lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine in all that I have." This is Ahab answering Ben-Hadad. Verse 5, "And the messengers came again and said, Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, Although I have sinned unto thee, saying, Thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children." Stop right there. Can I tell you this morning the reason you need to stay in the harness for Jesus Christ here at Bible Believers Church is because our families are at stake, number one. Our families are at stake, number one. Now, let me remind you what you already know. If the devil can't get to you, the first thing he's going to do is going to go right to your wife. Somebody say amen right there. And if he can't get to you and he can't get to your sweet, darling wife, what he's going to do is he's going to rile up your kids. That's the pecking order. You know the devil follows the pecking order, even if you don't, amen? But if he can't get to you, he's going right to her. You know, you're darling, you know. Y'all in love still, right? And then right to the kids. But notice here in the verse, the devil starts with your finances. He opens the door with your finances. You might not have known that. See, the devil tries to get a hold of your money. And once he gets a hold of your money, then he gets a hold of the wife. And then he gets a hold of the kids. You see how that works? But here's the interesting thing, the most telling thing I see in verse 6 is the fact he doesn't stop with your finances. He doesn't stop with your family. But yet it's just a foothold to get into everything he wants about you. See, the devil wants everything about you that is worth anything at all. And he uses money, and he uses mama, and he uses all the kids to get at you. Look at verse 6. Ben-Hadad says, "Yet will I send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants, and it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in thy hand and take it away." And yet, Ahab tries to pacify. You know Ben-Hadad's a picture of the devil today in the passage. He hates Israel. He's a picture of the devil. Yet Ahab tries to pacify the devil. He tries to put off the devil a little bit. "I'll give him my money. I'll give him a little bit of my family. He'll leave me alone." Who in the world would give up their family so they could stay on a throne? That blows my mind. I don't know about you, there ain't much in this world fighting for, but my family should be one of them. I don't know about you, I don't know where you came from, but I come up in a rough situation just like some of y'all did, and family's worth fighting for. And I tell these kids of mine, they get to bickering back and forth. I said, "Hey, your family, take care of one another." But Ahab, I can't believe it. To stay on his throne, he's just willing to give up the wife and the kids. Now, the King James Bible says wives, so don't get any funny ideas, but you know I'm preaching that, amen? But he says, okay, you can have them. You say, why in the world would any man do that? I don't know. Why do you do what you do? Why do you let the devil in with the finance? Why do you let the devil in with the wife, with the kids and all that stuff? I don't know. I don't live in your house, but the Holy Spirit knows. Why in the world would... I'm saying you've got to stay in the harness for Jesus Christ because your family's at stake. There's an attack on the family like never before. You say, well, the preachers 50 years ago sure did, and they sure were right. And the devil knows if he can dismantle your family, he can get men, he can get to you because you're going to get all depressed. You're going to get all lonely. You're going to start making some really dumb decisions. Amen. Why? Because I'm lonely. I need love. But I can't believe what Ahab was willing to give up so he could stay on the throne. Verse 7, Ahab says, for he sent unto me for my wives and for my children, and for my silver and for my gold, and I denied him not. I denied him not. Brother Yoakum, I can't imagine some wicked king, some wicked man, I don't care who in the world, I don't care if it's your favorite politician going after my family, and just I'd say, well sure, you could have them. I know this is a little bit bold, but if you come into my house, you say, right after I fall asleep, and you try to hurt my wife and kids, you're going to gain about 250 pounds in a country second, amen? And I'm a really bad shot, so I might shoot everybody in the block, but amen, you're going to have trouble. I'm telling you, families are at stake. You've got to stay in the harness. I'm telling you what, just like Ahab in this passage, later you see it, and we're going to cover it in a minute, but you've got to stay in the harness the whole way. You got to say, Lord, I got in the saddle with Jesus Christ April 24th, 1983. He saved my soul. Amen. That's when I got in the saddle. But it wasn't until about 2002 that I said, Lord, I'll surrender. I'll get in the harness with Jesus Christ. I'll take your yoke upon me because your burden's light and the one I'm carrying is pathetic. Amen. I'm saying we got to stay in the harness. But you say, who in the world would give up their families? Who in the world would give up mama? Who in the world would give up the kids? I'll tell you who. A man who's gotten out of the harness with God. A man who's stopped anticipating the fight. All it takes is one time. All it takes is one afternoon off from being in the harness with God. All it took David was, well, you know what? They don't need me. They're going to win the battle anyway. So he stayed home, got out of the harness, got in a mess of trouble, didn't he? Sure he did. You say, who in the world would do that? A man who stopped anticipating. How about this? How about a man who stopped reading his Bible just a couple days? How about a man who stopped nurturing his prayer life because he doesn't see the prayers answered in the time frame that he wants it answered? I'm telling you what, God, you've seen over the last year, God has answered just amazing prayers at this location. And I look at my life and I go, Lord, I can't believe you're doing what you're doing in mine. He doesn't seem to answer the prayers on my timetable, but he sure is working. Amen. I'm saying you've got to stay in the harness. Brethren, we embark today at this location on the precipice of eternity. We've been saved by the blood of the crucified one, amen. We're heaven bound, we're sanctified and redeemed, but you've got to stay in the harness with Jesus Christ. You've got to stay in the harness because we haven't even begun to fight. We haven't even begun to fight. Sure, some of you have become an expert at putting on the harness. You may have even won a few battles. Some you have. Look at y'all. Some of y'all are even smiling this morning. You've won a few battles. You've learned to get in the harness. You've learned to give God the reins of your life. And that's one of the most uncomfortable things you could ever deal with. Why? Because you kind of like steering the thing. Even though you keep crashing, you just like steering it. Like, oh, this is a ride. Bam! Oh, let's do that again. Bam! And the Lord's like, are you done? And you know, and then your preacher gets up here and preaches the paint right off the wall. That's why there's no carpet, because he preaches so loud, he just peeled the carpet back. Amen? You know what the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to tear you all up today. Can I say that's why you need to stay in the harness? Your families are at stake. Your families are at stake. You see, what the harness is, it's total surrender to Jesus Christ. Total surrender to Jesus Christ. The harness in the Christian life is being battle ready. Do you realize there's a battle waging right now in these pews? The devil's after every single one of you. Men, and it starts with you. Why you need to stay in the harness is because your families are at stake. You see, 50 to 70 years ago, our statistics were a little bit different. You say, whose statistics? Christian families versus the world families. Guess what? There's no difference now. Our marriages dissolve at the same rate. Is that drop? Our marriages in the Christian home are dissolving at the same rate. Our young men and our young women are more now dependent on drugs than they ever have been before. There's no difference. You say that's anecdotal information. You prove it wrong. You can. I'm in a country church, two and a half hours north of here, and I got two families affected by cocaine. I mean, we're surrounded by cornfields, brethren. You know, when the wind shifts on the right day, it smells kind of ripe. That's called where we're at. You say cocaine? Yeah, northern Michigan, country town. There's 4,300 people in our town. There's no difference in our churches. Our debt-to-income ratio is the same as the world. Our addictions to worldly appetites are no different. And I just say that not because I'm trying to take a shot. I'm saying our family, as you already know, and your preacher's done such a great job, it's on the firing line. If there was ever a reason to stay in the harness for Jesus Christ right here at Bible Believers Church of South Lyon, let's start with your family. Let me tell you what, your family means the world to your preacher. There's probably only one man, I know there's only one man in this entire county that prays for everyone in this room, and he's right over there. You think family is important? You better believe it. Stay in the harness because your family, not only your family, but the second reason I want to give you today, you need to stay in the harness because future victories are at stake. Future victories, look at verse 13, 1 Kings chapter 20. The Bible says, "And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I'll deliver it into thy hand today, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord." That prophet, the preacher, shows up. Preacher's always showing up at the wrong time. He says, "Ahab, you see all this mess? You see all this? What a mess." He says, "You see this unbeatable foe right here?" The Lord says he's going to give you the victory. And when the smoke clears and when the chaos settles, you're going to know that you had absolutely no chance of beating this enemy, but the Lord's going to give it to you. And you're going to know that I am the Lord, and without me you can do nothing. Isn't that what Jesus Christ said? Didn't he say that over in John, was it 15 or 5 or 14 rather? He says, without me you can do nothing. Can I remind you today, without Jesus Christ you can do nothing. Everything you're trying to do right now for Jesus Christ in the flesh, you can't get it done. Without Jesus Christ you can do nothing. He said, you mean without him you got, that's it. Without him you can do nothing. I'm saying you need to stay in the harness because future victories are at stake. Future victories are at stake. For once in his life, I believe King Ahab here was finally in the harness, or at least so it appears so. And of course, we know that the preacher had cleared the playing field. The sinful prophets had been removed. And now the king was on the right road. And if you know anything about the right road, it always leads out at the right place. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, future victories are at stake. You know, the victories that you experienced this year in your own Christian life, in your own personal life, and your own church life, the development and growth that you've had, you need to stay in the harness because the future ones are still at stake. Amen. If you want to know how important it is for you to stay in the harness, can I tell you that you'll never get victory. You'll never get the victory if you don't get in the harness. You see, the battle was promised, but the outcome was not always determined. You'll never get the victory if you don't get into the harness. You say you're too ambiguous. I'm trying to make you think this morning. Are you in the harness with Jesus Christ? Are you in the thing? You see, what I know about churches, there's a lot of people that make the thing work. And without Jesus Christ, it don't work. I understand that. But there's a lot of people that make the thing work. They're doing their part. They're in the harness. They're pulling. Like that passage over in Jeremiah, when Jeremiah down in the pit took all, what, 40 men and Ebed-Melech and all there, all pulling together to get him out of the pit. Amen? But there's a lot of people doing the work, and then there's a lot of people just kind of watching the thing take place. Like, look at how cool that thing looks. Look at all they did there. Yeah, amen. I hope you applauded the men that gave their time. You say, well, there are rewards in heaven, sure, but sure nice to get a little bit here, ain't it? Yeah. Are we so far removed from that? Well, you know, I think they just ought to do it for Jesus. Well, yeah, you do it for Jesus then, you know. You do it for him. Oh, that's right, you had to work. You'll never get victory over desires to be in everyone else's business if you don't get in the harness with Jesus Christ. You'll never beat that besetting sin, amen, that keeps whipping your tail unless you get in the harness with Jesus Christ. Bible says in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And can I remind you that the Bible tells you in Exodus 13:18 that the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, the Bible says that they came up out of Egypt harnessed. Say, who were they harnessed to? That was the Lord. The Lord had control of them. The question at this point in time is, does the Lord have control of you? Are you in the harness today? Does he have the reins of your life? Does he have control of you? Let me say this. Future victories are at stake. Look at verse 22 real quick. The Bible says in verse 22, and the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest, for at the return of the year the king of Syria will come up against thee. You see, Christian, there's always going to be another fight. There's always going to be another battle. And see, they just had a major victory. Ahab actually listened to what God said and they had victory. And I'm telling you, there's always going to be another fight, but yet the outcome is not always determined like it's determined in the passage today. There's always going to be another battle, and the Lord told King Ahab in advance. Look here, verse 22, he says, go. You see that? You better go, Christian. You don't sit around the stool and do nothing. If you can be doing something for Jesus Christ to make this thing go forward for him, can I encourage, can I exhort you? Whatever it is that you do, do it. I don't care if you become a part of the plant watering ministry, get a part of something. You say, but the plants are plastic. Even better, amen. You can't kill them, get blamed for it, amen. Just kind of wipe them off, you know, spray some of that stuff. Well, you know. I'm just trying to exhort you to do something this morning. Don't sit on the stool and do nothing. I mean, time is of the essence here. Are you in the harness with Jesus Christ? We're not talking about binding you to the duty of the local church. But hey, what a better place to be in duty, because the will of God comes on the road to duty. You sit here and struggle, say, yeah, I just don't know what the Lord had me to do. Get in the saddle, get in the harness for Jesus Christ and do something for him. Amen. You say, I don't know what to do. Ask your preacher. I'm sure he'd come up with something. Probably pick up some dust or something. Put some more of that orange stain here. And that good looking stain right there, amen. That is good stuff, I tell you. Okay, they don't get it. All right. He says in verse 22, not only go, he says, strengthen thyself. You know what that tells me, Christian? You need some more work. You need some more training, don't you? You know, Christians, you know what we're guilty of? We're guilty often of doing what we're really strong at. I mean, I can cut wood. That's about it. Pretty good at it. And there ain't nothing I'd rather do than sharpen up the old steel. Amen. None of this husky stuff. Amen. Sharpen that old steel and cut wood. I mean, put an edge on there you could shave with. I wouldn't try it, but you could shave with it. And just cut wood. But you know what? You need to learn a little bit more than what you know now. And in the Christian life, can I exhort you and challenge you? As that prophet told that old king, you better strengthen yourself. This year is the time to improve your knowledge about the Bible.
Amen.
You need to learn to sharpen that thing a little bit better than you did last year. You need to learn to use it offensively. You need to learn to use it defensively. You're good at warding off the attacks. All the cults, they don't get you no more. You're eternally secure, amen. But how about drawing just a little bit of blood every now and then?
Amen.
Strengthen thyself. Bible says there in 22, he says, mark and see what thou doest. You see that? Maybe some of y'all need to start marking your Bible a little bit, marking it down on a piece of paper, what the Lord's showing you. He's like, you better mark and see what thou doest. You better take some record of what's going to happen. And see, the battle is coming. That old prophet, that old preacher said, it's coming in 1 year. Man, they had an entire year. What if the Lord would drop down today and said, in 1 year, all hell's going to break loose at Bible Believers Church South Lyon? I'm telling you what, not only would all y'all be getting, you know, all crazy and about ready for it, man, y'all be prayed up. You'd be stayed up. You'd have everything confessed in your life. You'd be like, go ahead, come on, we're ready for you. So he gives this king 1 year. He says, I'm just saying, there's always going to be another fight. It's coming. It's coming. We're enjoying the victories today. I get to be part of the celebration, amen. But I'm telling you, there's another fight coming. You might be in it now, and you might be in it next year. Can I give you this one here, number three? You have to stay in the harness because there's some young men that need some fortifying. Young men, look at verse 15, if you would. Try to keep moving here. The Bible says in verse 15, then he numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces, and they were about 232. I see in our passage today, one of the reasons that you and I need to stay in the harness for Jesus Christ is because there's a bunch of young men here that need some fortifying. They need some strengthening. They need some encouraging. You see, in the end of verse 15, there's 232 young men. You say, big deal. Well, there's 7,000 of the rest of the army. And by the way, in case you're wondering where that 7,000 came from, that came from chapter 19, verse 18, the previous one, the ones that hadn't bowed their knees to Baal. Amen? See, Israel couldn't win a war until all the sin got knocked off the mountain. Amen? And now that 7,000 that hadn't bowed their knee to Baal, guess what? They're ready to fight. And now you got 232 young men. That is 28 people to one young man. You know what I see here today in South Lyon? Or as Syria calls it, South Leon. You know what I see? I see some young men here getting the job done. You know what I know? You say, tell us. Okay, are these young men going to get the job done? These young men got what it takes to get this ministry moving forward for Jesus Christ. I know you think some of them, I need a little bit of extra work, but we don't care what you think, amen. These young men got what it takes to get the thing done for Jesus Christ. And you see these young men in verse 15, they're the ones that lead the charge. And I'm telling you, if there was ever reason to stay in the harness, it's because there's young men here today that need fortifying, they need strengthening, they need built up in the faith, they need edified through hard preaching, and that's what it's going to take to get the battle done. Stay in the harness for Jesus Christ because of the young men. These are the young men. They charge into the battle with the Lord's blessing. And they bring the energy. Amen. You better thank God for young men. You know what I'm doing up in Ottawa City, Pastor Mike? I'm praying for young men. I'm praying for young men. You know what I say? I say, God, I'm not old yet. Some days I feel old. I said, Lord, please. Please send some. See, the Lord really blessed our ministry. He brought the middle-aged men between 45 to 55. Just brought a bunch of them. And you know what that did? That solidified and that settled the thing down. But you know what I know? That ministry will never grow unless we get some young men. That thing will never take off and take the next step for Jesus Christ unless I got some young men that love the King James Bible, that love preaching, that have a pure heart, that are not afraid to work, get off their blessed assurance and do something for Jesus Christ. But you got to have the young men. And at this church, you got some young men. And I believe in them. See, some of you look at some of these young men like they need too much work, but your preacher has been given the ability by God that only a few preachers has, that he can draw men and he can develop young men regardless of their background. See, you see, I don't know about you, I've been in a few churches, and the idea of some of these churches, that these young men come in here and they look like too much work. They don't look like too much work to me. I say, all I got's one life to live. Why did I put it into the young men? Instead of trying to suck the money off the rich. The young men have what it takes to charge into battle with the Lord's blessing. Now listen, young men are going to do some really dumb things. Just like you did too, amen? Just like you did. Well, what? You remember when you were in your 30s? Oh yeah, we don't want to go live that over, do we? Yeah, you weren't the poster child, but thank God for the young men. If there's ever a reason in 2020 to stay in the harness for Jesus Christ, it's because of the young men here. They're going to get it done. Thank God for the young men. I see these young men here. They need to be fortified. But the Lord has given you the young men here, and I'm telling you what, the fact that God let young bunch of young men... Now, some of y'all are like, am I a young man or I'm not? Well, are you 40 or under, then you're a young man, amen? And if you're over 40, you know... I remember when I was in my 20s, all these big pews, I'm like, oh, here, I get it. All the older men in the church, they're like two on one side. I'm like, fooey on that. I'll get on the other end myself, picked up. You know what, now that I'm 44, I say, can I get some help, brother? Why? I'm not as young as I used to be. But these young men, you know what they need from you? They need strengthened. They need edified. They need encouraged. Why? They're going to be the ones charging into battle. That's why you got to stay. You see, if you don't stay in the harness for Jesus Christ and let Jesus Christ have the reins of your heart and your life, you know what you're going to do? You're going to soon find yourself critical of the young men. And see, right now, some of you may be a little upset at what I'm saying because you don't think too much of the young men. That's fine. None of us have always had the right estimation of people. See, what you see is an outside shell, an outside exterior, and you kind of look at that thing and go like, oh, whatever, you know. And you know what the Lord sees? Can I remind you what the Lord said to Gideon? Gideon's threshing at the threshing floor, and the Lord shows up and he says, oh, thou mighty man of valor. Question, was he a mighty man of valor yet? No. What does that mean? The Lord sees you in your finished state. The Lord don't see you where you're at now. He sees your aptitude, what you will become. Can I tell you this? Can I exhort you this morning to do the best you can to have the most charity this year with the young men and try to be like Christ and see them where they may become? You need to stay in the harness for Jesus Christ because of the young men here. They need strengthened. They need strengthened. Can I give you another one? Number four, look at verse 26. You need to stay in the harness for Jesus Christ because the Lord will not fail you. The Lord will never fail you. Here in verse 26, the Bible says, and it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. So the battle was on, just like the old preacher said, right? How many times you've been living your Christian life, going through, the preacher preaches something from the pulpit, man, and it just read your mail. You're like, that's exactly what I dealt with this week. Yeah, the preacher was right. Why? Because the preacher's in tune with somebody else. You get to verse 27, the Bible says, and the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. I don't know how you read your Bible, I read that, and they're like, they did exactly what they were told. They all showed up. The prophet said, the preacher said, there's going to be a fight, there's going to be a battle, and by the way, I'm going to give it to you. So they all show up for it. And the Bible says not only were they all present, but they went against them. They didn't like, I just come to see what's going on here, but they stood against the enemy. How about you this morning? Are you against the enemy? You say, where's the enemy? Outside that door. The world, the flesh, and the devil. I move on here in verse 28. Bible says, and there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 29, and they pitched over one against the other 7 days. And so it was that in the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew the Syrians and 100,000 footmen in one day. Man mopped them up, didn't he? 100,000. Verse 30, the Bible says, but the rest fled to Aphek. You go ahead, run from Israel. Lord, drop a wall on you, amen. You see that verse there? But the rest fled to Aphek in the city, and there a wall fell upon 27,000 the men that were left. Brother, I'm just going to say this. You got to stay in the harness, because I'm telling you, the Lord will not fail you. Old kid song goes like this. He cannot fail, for he is God. He cannot fail. He pledged his word. He cannot fail. He'll see you through. He cannot fail. He answers you. The Lord will never fail you, Christian. I'm saying if there's a reason to stay in the harness, is because Jesus Christ will never, ever, ever fail you. And the Lord will always be there, whether you're in the fight or you're in the still. Some of you in the fight right now, he's there right there by your side. Some of you in the still right now, you're hoping the fight don't break out. You're hoping the storm don't roll in. And he's right there, right beside you. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. He said he'd support apply all your need. I'm telling you today, stay in the harness, because he'll never fail you.
Amen.
He'll never fail you. Can I give you just one more before we close this morning? If you look at verse 33, quite possibly one of the most important reasons why I would exhort you this morning to stay in the harness is because our fellowship is at stake. Look at verse 33, the end of the verse. The Bible says in verse 33, then Ben-Hadad came forth to him and caused him to come up into the chariot. Verse 34 says, and Ben-Hadad said unto him, and so forth and so on. And all of a sudden he begins making a deal with the devil. You see, the Lord sent King Ahab to go whip that king. And the Lord whipped the fire out of all the army. The only number one man was left. And he's supposed to finish the job. Look at verse 42. He doesn't do it. He doesn't do it. Up shows the preacher. Man, ain't that the truth? And every time you mess up during the week or something and you don't get that thing right with God, up shows a preacher. Gets up from behind this pulpit and he just starts beating it out there. And you're like, okay, Lord, you're right. I totally ignored that one. I figured I could just hide it from you there. But the Lord sends a preacher and just ruins your little dinner. Amen. Verse 43, after the preacher's done, you see what happens. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased and came to Samaria. Can I tell you the final reason that you must stay in the harness in 2020 is because your fellowship with Jesus Christ is at stake. Your fellowship is at stake. The king of Israel showed up, and just 1 year ago, the Lord wrought a great victory. Ahab had taken his medicine kind of like a man. He stayed in the harness for 1 year. That's it, 1 year. Now a year later, and being right on the verge of complete annihilation of Israel's enemy, it's like Ahab pulls the chariot over, takes the harness off and says, I've had enough fighting. I'm done. You know what? There's a lot of people died. One more isn't going to make a bit of difference. You know, I've just had enough of this battle mentality. I've just had enough of this. Always got to be on guard. Always got to be ready. And Ahab's like, it's okay. I've had enough for today. And that was the very moment that broke the fellowship with Ahab and the Lord. And can I tell you this morning, if you don't stay in the harness, your fellowship will be affected. The bottom line I see with this on a practical level is Ahab was just as close to the Lord as he wanted to be. He had just enough words from the preacher, and he was okay with it. But when complete victory was on the line, he just kind of backed out. Like, no, I'm good. I've had enough of this church this year. I'm telling you, wow, I've had enough. And he lets that wicked king come up with him into his chariot. He takes the harness off. And that writes Ahab's epitaph in days to come. The very thing you see, if you read down through that chapter, his life goes for his life. Can I encourage you this morning? to stay in the harness because your fellowship with Jesus Christ is at stake. Ahab's disobedience has now created a breach. If you look in the verse there in 42, as we wind the thing down, his disobedience has created a heaviness. You know when you're out of fellowship with Jesus Christ, right? What happens is when you're out of fellowship with Him, you force yourself to stay busier many times than you should be, because the moment you breathe, the moment you take a breath, you feel that heaviness. The late Lane Staley, who died of a heroin overdose back many years ago, he was a screamer in one of these punk bands. He said on an interview on MTV, he said, at the end of the day, you've got to deal with yourself. And Christian, you know why so many times you get in that ride of yours, and I'm not beating on you, I love you, and you're so quick to turn that radio on. Because the moment you hit silence, the Holy Spirit of God's going, hey, 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 what about me? Hey, hey. And you're like, oh, God, shut up. He goes back to his house heavy and displeased. You ever hear a really good message? And I don't know why I say it's really good, but when I hear some of my mentors, like your preacher and Brother Peacock preach, I hear some of their messages. At the end of the message, a lot of times I'm like, huh, there's not a big enough rock to crawl under. You say, what is that? I'm displeased with myself because there's a breach of fellowship. And in our passage today, he didn't listen to what the preacher said. He got out of the harness with God. He became heavy and displeased, and fellowship was broken. Can I exhort you today to stay in the harness, because your fellowship is more important than anything else? And here in our passage, Ahab stops on a dime. He pulls the harness off. His fellowship, number one, is immediately broken. He's immediately heavy-hearted, and he's immediately displeased, no doubt, with the preacher and with himself. Your fellowship with him is at stake this year. Our families are at stake. Our future victories are at stake. Our young men need fortifying. They need strengthened. The Lord will never fail you. And can I implore you just one more time to stay in the harness with Jesus Christ? I don't know, maybe you're here today and you say, preacher, I'm in the harness. I'm in. Me and Jesus, we're like that. We're good. Praise the Lord. This church needs you. This preacher needs you to be in the harness with Jesus Christ. Can I just give you this? If you're that one that's in the harness, Revelation 3:2 says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. I know that's an admonition given to a church, but you need to strengthen the things which remain if you're in the harness. Maybe you're here today and you're not in the harness. Maybe you're on the outside looking in. You say, oh, this is a pretty good church. A lot of exciting things happen. Can I implore you that maybe it's your turn to get into the harness and give Jesus Christ the reins of your life? You say, how do I do that? Well, you do that by doing what you know to do. You came to church today, amen. Now, in a minute, the preacher's going to come here and they do an altar call and invitation here. But if the Lord spoke to you, why don't you just go ahead and speak to Him? That's the next thing. See, in the harness, the Lord is the one directing your step. In the harness, the Lord is the one that controls the reins. The Lord is the one that calls the shots, not us. And you say, well, I'm here today and I think that preaching's kind of crazy. I would have to agree with you. But maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, you can't get in the harness until you get in Jesus Christ. You can't get in the harness with Jesus Christ until you trust Him as your Savior. I'll have a piano player come to the piano here, begin to play something, but I'm going to turn it over to the preacher here this morning. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, why don't you make today the day where you trust Jesus Christ? If you're here today and you're in the harness, will you pray for those who aren't? Will you pray for, and maybe you're here today and you're just kind of like on the borderline here saying, you know what, there's a lot going on in this church, but can I remind you, we need you in the harness with Jesus Christ. Preacher, you come and you handle invitation however you want, but stay in the harness.